Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show that's for you and about you. Those who work so hard for your money, and you want your money to start working harder for you right now. You want that freedom, prosperity, and cash flow today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But most importantly, guys, it's about creating a life of legacy and purpose, because as you're blessed financially, you can bless more lives. And that is the purpose of what we have to do here today. So again, guys, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for binging and sharing this show and talking about it with your friends and family and whoever else that needs this, because we've got to create people that are financially independent. In fact, our goal here is to make sure that at least 1,000 of you are financially independent by 2030. So guys, thank you for allowing me to create that ripple effect through you as you tune in. As a quick reminder, check out our YouTube channel, The Money Ripples with Chris Miles page. You can go check that out. We got all of our podcasts on there, and even some few bonus videos and things that I throw in there as well. So go check that out and subscribe today. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cash Flow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cash Flow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, guys. So I've got a special guest with us today that I couldn't say no, because I know you guys will love it. You know, I know she's going to be amazing for you guys. So our today's special guest today is Stephanie Walter. Now, she's the CEO of Airbay Wealth, a capital raiser, syndicator, and a real estate investor. She recently just retired and sold her insurance agency of 16 years by following these key principles that she uses that she also teaches professionals to use. She teaches professionals it's how to unlearn what most of us have been wired to think about money and re-educating people on attaining lasting wealth, much like what we talk about on the show all the time, right? She's also a gateway between these professionals and well-vetted deals. She lives with her husband and young son in Colorado. So Stephanie, welcome to our show today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So give us some background. Tell us like where you came from and where did this shift all happen for you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, just like a lot of people out of college, I got a job, with a corporation and kind of, accelerated through there for about 8 years and kind of realized I'd gotten to the peak of where I wanted to be. And my boss sat me down and was like, well, you did great this year. And so you're going to get a 2% raise. And something about that just clicked in my head. And I went back and actually, I just bought a house and talked to my dad at the time and was like, Dad, I can't believe that, I go and I work out 2% raises for the rest of my life. Like, this is not what I envisioned. Mm-hmm. He was an entrepreneur. Actually, he was a second generation entrepreneur. My grandfather was sponsored to come over from Germany and work. And back then they were sponsored. And then he was able to start his own several businesses actually in Iowa. So my dad did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided then and there I was going to be an entrepreneur. So I got into the insurance business. But I started investing in real estate because my dad did that. And it always kind of made sense to me, but I didn't have really any education on it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of hard to go wrong, investing in the early 2000s in Denver. But eventually, In 2016 came along and I was really, really interested. I was invited to a boot camp to learn about investing in apartment complexes and just learn the whole concept of a syndication. And that sort of blew my mind at that time and just was like, this is it. This is the thing I've been waiting for my whole life. I love the idea of like a group of people buying something that no one could do on their own. Yeah. And from there, I just like did a deep dive and did all the classes and learned as much as I could and completed my first syndication in 2018 by myself. Realized I never, ever, ever, ever wanted to do one of them by myself again. And partnered with my current partner, and he loves to find the deals. I love to raise money for the deals, and we're currently on our 9th syndication together. Wow. But in the process of raising money, I watched a lot of what the wealthy people were doing with their money and what they were focusing on, and it was completely different than what I was doing. So I started making those shifts, actually taking my money and putting it into different places than where it was, and focused a lot more on cash flow. And about 3 years later, I started doing all that in 2018. I just sold my agency in 2021 and all be retired. But I have, I think, the same passion as you, is I just want people to know that everyone can do this.
Absolutely. It's true. Isn't it amazing? Like you take that shift, you go to cash flow and it becomes easier, doesn't it?
Yes. Yep. A lot. And that was a huge, and a lot of it is mind shift. You really had to change that. And once you see it that way, then it becomes very like, oh, the path, you know, that was foggy is completely clear for me anyways.
Yeah. Well, it's cool that you're on the real estate side, because you get to see something that a lot of people that do insurance really never get into, right? Because I know a lot of people that end up owning insurance agencies, they end up just, you know, doing the traditional retirement plans, you know, the 401ks and the IRAs and Roths and things like that, and maybe some insurance type product, but that's pretty much it. And you went and ventured outside of that, didn't you?
Yeah. And it was actually, you know, I ended up writing an ebook that is directed to insurance agents, actually, because I was like, because insurance agents are notoriously terrible. I just don't feel like they are thinking like their agency, the sale of their agency is going to fund their retirement, which nothing could be further from the truth on that. And so I, you know, wrote that, and, you know, hopefully some, you know, read it and will make some changes.
What was the big shift for you that got you out of that accumulation mindset that's so prevalent and so taught to more of a cash flow mindset? What shifted in you?
I saw these wealthy people and what they were doing. I sort of knew it in the back of my head that something wasn't right, because I was really, really focused on buying a property every year, every couple of years. And, you know, oh yeah, on paper, I've got great net worth, but like, I'm still like, you know, annoyed that I'm having to be a landlord, and I'm just frustrated, you know, if something breaks down, well, darn it, then, you know, I don't have, you know, I have to go into my own money to pay for it. And just like really realizing that wealthy people look at cash flow over net worth all the time. And the moment that I changed that and was looking at what exactly is my money doing, is it working for me, what kind of cash flow am I getting, rather than looking at, oh, I have this nice asset and it'll be paid off in 20 or 30 years and then I'll make a bunch of money, like focusing on the cash flow right now. I didn't have to wait. And that's, yeah, once I started selling my rentals, it just became I just sold my last one in April, and I couldn't be any happier than that.
I know there's a lot of you listeners right now that you should be replaying that last section over and over again, right? Because whenever we do an analysis of you guys, like, that's the thing is common, is either the money's tied up in in savings and retirement plans or type in equity, even if you have an investment property, it doesn't mean it's performing well. Especially if you're on the western half of the US, you probably have a low performing asset where you have a low return on equity. You could be making more cash flow today than you realize. So pay attention to that. That's a huge lesson that all of a sudden just accelerated her progress towards hitting that cash flow goal, right? Mm-hmm. And you're happier.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah. Now, the topic of today, of course, that I really wanted to talk to you about, because again, you're in syndications, and this is something that comes up a lot, right? Because like you said, you've been selling, you know, you had sold off properties. Now, 1031 exchange, let's talk about that a little bit. Now, let's just cover the basics of 1031, right? Let's just go into that. Let's start there. What's a 1031 exchange for those that don't know?
A 1031 exchange is what a lot of people that own properties, rental properties, can use to avoid paying the capital gains tax. Not avoid necessarily, but delay it.
Delay, yeah.
And so a lot of people, they can sell their rental property. It's a whole process. Like when you sell your rental property, you have to identify three properties within the first 45 days. That I think where most people get tied up and confused, and I was one of those confused people too, is that actually you can exchange your property for anything. It doesn't, a lot of people think, oh, it's got to be the same property.
Like
same
to like, right?
Yeah. It can be anything. You can exchange your regular rental into land, into anything that's a real property, into industrial buildings, into apartments, into anything like that. Yeah. So I know personally that kind of limited me, because I always thought, well, I don't really want to buy another rental property necessarily. And just that sort of, that was definitely news to me. But you pick those three properties, and then you do, there's a time component where you have to, you know, close on that property within 180 days. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1031 should be a magic word for all of you guys, because, you know, the one thing we don't want to pay is taxes, right?
Right.
And the great thing about real estate is that they've created these little, you know, legal loopholes, right? These legal exceptions where you say, listen, if we can go and take the returns, not the cash flow, right? But if you sell a property and you make money on it, which should happen, taking that equity, moving it somewhere else where you don't have to pay any tax on that money at all. And by the way, you know, what we talked about on the show before, when you're making cash flow on a property, you generally don't pay any taxes anyways, or very little tax, because you're depreciating everything. So you pay very little tax on the cash flow. And then when you can move the equity somewhere else, you almost have this tax never type investment, or it's a tax later, but you can kind of delay it till, well, after you're dead, right? So that's a nice thing. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying, of course, is that, you know, if you have a rental, and I know I've seen people like this, especially when I have a lot of clients in California, Texas, you know, places like this where they have this massive amount of equity, especially in the last few years, right? The returns are dismal on these properties. And so it makes sense to sell it so they can make a much higher cash flow.
Right.
So you're saying we don't have to move it. And, you know, we don't have to go from a single family, even to a duplex or a fourplex. We can even get this into an apartment building, right?
Where you're completely passive, which is something that I've done. But yeah, that's 100% right. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the process of doing that? Because I know you can't do that with all syndications. It has to be set up the right way. So how would they know if a syndication will allow them to do that?
I would say, you know, definitely to reach out to, you know, myself. You know, there are certain syndicators that work with 1031. Mm-hmm. And especially, it really kind of depends on the amount of money that you have to work with. But essentially, it's very simple. It's just really the structure of the syndication. If you talk to someone and ask them, do they do 1031s? And they say, no, or let me check, probably not the best, you know, people to work with. But specifically for a layperson, you have to know that when you roll that money into a syndication, you take ownership of it as a tenant in common, or a TIC. You can't just invest like all the rest of the investors. And this is probably much further beyond what most people need to know. Mm-hmm. But yes, there are absolutely syndications that take that. And here's a thought for people that do have a lot of equity, and I started doing that myself, is just do the simple math of what are your returns on your cash flow. Then look at your equity and say, well, in our last 9 deals, we've returned our investors over 20% annualized returns a year. So, you know, look at what you're doing and can you do better putting that money into a passive, truly a passive vehicle where it's just going to send you a check every month and send you a report so you can see how the asset is doing. So it becomes very attractive. I have a lot of people that don't quite believe it. They do their first one and then they start liquidating all of their other assets because it's kind of a no-brainer.
It is. Well, and there has to be that proof of concept. And once they start to see that they get paid, that's when all of a sudden the reality hits and they say, all right, maybe I'm safe to pull money from other places. But yeah. And I think it's great because I remember I had one client where he had 700,000 of equity sitting in his California duplex, right? And he was cash flowing net profit, $200 a month.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So imagine what you're saying here. And again, there's no guarantees and every deal is different, right? But say we do talk about that 20% annualized return, right? I mean, that means 700,000 is not making 2,400 a year net, right? But now that 700,000 can actually make, and again, you could transfer it over tax-free, so you don't have to worry about holding any money out on taxes. You move that money over, and now you're getting closer to about 140,000 a year versus 2,400 a year, right?
And that's cash, you know, that you're getting every month as opposed to like waiting for those 20 years to go by. And another thing, I have a lot of people ask me, they're, you know, because I get a lot of people that haven't heard about this and they're like, well, how do those apartments do during recessions? I mean, like when the economy drops, as we're all expecting it to do, isn't that going to, you know, affect those? And this is another mindset change, which is, the apartments are like buying a business basically. And so the value of this apartment complex is based on the money, the income minus the expenses. It's the really profit. Quite simple. Yeah. The profit in it. And if you look at how multifamily has performed through recessions, they tend to actually do better during recessions because people are moving out of their houses.
That's right.
Now that's different than the duplex that man owned because if say there's a crash in the economy, that the value of his property is what a comparable in that same neighborhood would sell for. Well, that seems a lot more risky to me than, you know, an apartment.
It definitely can be. Yeah, there's a lot more factors and variables there. And you're right. People will often in a recession downsize into your stuff. Now, if you have glamorous, super expensive apartment building, okay, class A+, right?
Right.
That's a different story. But if you're dealing with like the typical, probably like you're dealing with what, class B maybe or something like that. Yep. Yeah. So you're dealing with more like what average Americans would be dealing with, you know, and that's a totally different story. So they would downsize into your apartment building.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, this is fantastic, Stephanie. I mean, and I think it's great because a lot of people don't realize they can 1031 into these deals. And so if someone wants to get to know you and your stuff more, right, or be able to follow what you guys are doing in your deals, how would they do that?
You can go to my website, which is www.erbewealth.com. From there, there's just an enormous amount of content on my website that the best thing I think to start is you can download my report that I just put up about the 5 reasons that passive investing might be for you. And it goes over a lot of different reasons people don't think about, you know, when opening their minds up to this. And you can be put on our VIP list and we send out, you know, webinars and educational content all the time. Because, you know, that's what we're wanting to do with our investors is a lot of our investors are first time investors because that's really where my focus is. And so that's what we try to generate our content to be useful for.
That's fantastic. Yep. We're in this together. I don't raise money or capital for any deals, anything like that. But I mean, that's the thing. We got to educate people that there is a better alternative than just the traditional, you know, hope and pray that, you know, the stock market doesn't tank right before you retire. Right.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Not to mention have to wait a couple more decades to retire because of it.
Yes. Yes. Which we have seen.
I'm sure after you have an insurance agency, you've seen that quite a bit too, because you're like, I've seen those people. I've inherited those clients from decades of advice and look where they're at. Right.
Yep. And to me, it was very impactful to see the people that had done everything right. And then they retire and then they're really, really struggling. And for me, that made an impact fairly early on to where I'm not going to do it this way. Wasn't sure how I was going to do it, but I wasn't going to do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely relate. That was me in 2006.
Yeah.
So, well, again, Stephanie, thank you so much for being generous with your time and teaching us. This is great stuff. Everybody, we'll put the website in the show notes, so you don't have to pull over or try to write it down really quick. We've got it right here for you. So be sure to visit Stephanie's website and, you know, get that information, learn, gather all the data you can so that you can become someone who is free, not following the norm. Because everybody that's doing the stuff they've done financially, it hasn't worked yet. So why would you want to follow that pattern? Do something that's actually been proven to work. Just like Stephanie said, follow what the wealthy have done to become wealthy, to become financially free. That's what we're teaching here today. Guys, make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.